A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded the questions Jesus asked his disciples. Who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Was Jesus interested in knowing what people thought of him? It doesn't seem likely. He was teaching his disciples, and the two questions seemed to lead to his prediction of the passion he had to suffer. So there is a sort of build-up. People said he was a prophet. Peter said that he was the Christ, and Jesus said that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Christ's two questions differ only in the words "people" and "you," and this is a real difference. The word "people" is generic, and it does not really show any special link with Jesus. It can include those who like to listen to him, and those who appreciated the multiplication of the bread or the healings. It can also include Herod's view, for when Herod heard about the reputation of Jesus, he said to his court, "This is John the Baptist himself, whom I beheaded. He has risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." The first question then reflects the opinion of those who were either interested in Jesus for personal gains or who were afraid of him. The "you" in the second question refers to the group that followed Jesus, those who wanted to learn from him, those who loved him. Who did this group say that Jesus was? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," answered Peter. Did Peter know what he was saying? Yes, I would say, for he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. For as Jesus told him, "My heavenly Father revealed this to you." Did Peter really understand what he said? It doesn't seem that he did, for his idea of a Messiah differed from God's idea. In fact, when Jesus first spoke of his suffering, Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus' reaction was to tell Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." Peter was being inspired by the love of life, human love. Jesus was challenging him and us to aspire for the love of God, divine love. Could the phrase "get behind me, Satan" also mean "follow me, tempter"? Was Jesus telling Peter, "Abandon your dreams, follow my Father's ways"? I wonder. It seems that through the story, the three evangelists are asking people to move from a utilitarian perception of Jesus onto love, and from human love onto divine love. We are called to follow Christ, not because of what he can give us, but for love. A love that helps us overcome difficulties and mysteries in order to embrace God's plan, which might not be what we would desire it to be, but which will surely give us life in abundance, starting from our life on earth and going on to the fullness of life in eternity. In today's story, Matthew introduces a blessing and a promise we do not find in the other Gospels. The blessing is for Simon, son of Jonah, whose name Jesus changed to Peter, the rock. The promise is that upon this rock I will build my church. Why is Simon blessed? Because he accepted God's revelation and proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ, even though not fully understanding the meaning of his words. We also are blessed when we accept that there are truths we cannot understand and therefore remain a mystery to us, for they go beyond the reach of our reason. We know what we believe, even though we are unable to explain it. For example, we believe in the Eucharist and know and accept that Christ is really present in the bread and wine on our altars, but we cannot explain how this is done. We accept that it is God's doing. Jesus promised, "Upon this rock I will build my church." What does this mean? It means that in order to help us on our way to accept God's ways, we need the support of a community of human persons, the Church. Nobody can really embrace God's project if not through a community of faith. It is interesting that Matthew inserts this episode between Peter's confession and Christ's prediction of his suffering. He introduces the idea of a church community built on and around Peter. Christ is reported giving Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This is not triumphalism. It indicates a reality. We can only enter God's kingdom if we walk together as a community, the church built on this rock. In our reflection, we can put an emphasis on the word rock and imagine that Peter was a rock, which was not always the case. What was rock-like in Peter was surely his love for Jesus Christ. He loved him before his passion. Remember him saying, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And he loved him after his resurrection. On the night of Christ's passion, Peter failed Jesus, not for lack of love, but out of fear. When Peter realized what he had done, he wept bitterly. Remember Christ's triple question to Peter after the resurrection. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." For this love of Jesus, he offered all his energy, notwithstanding his limitations, and ended his life martyred in Rome. When we say "this rock," we should perhaps put an emphasis on the pronoun "this," and we will understand that Christ did not want to found any church, but one built on this rock, Peter. This church is not always steady, rock-like, for it is made of human beings who are not perfect or sinless, but are searching for God's will and try to live in God's ways and would like to love God with all their heart. Christ's church is for sinners like Peter who weep because of their sins and who would like to convert and become Christ-like, real Christians. Let us not look for a perfect church community, an idea that would separate us from the others. But let us ask Christ to clean us of our sins and show us the way, each day, that would lead us to our brothers and sisters and to his Father, our Father.